It's been more of heaven. I need thee. It's all about hunger. Makes a pastor wonder how hungry the body of Christ at Crosspoint really is. You know, every single year, many churches, including this church, does a prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year. This year, we committed 21 days of prayer and fasting. Many of you participated in that. And some of you would say to the pastor after the done, we were done, you said this. You said, Pastor, I did 21 days of prayer and fasting, but I didn't see any results. You know who you are. It got me thinking this past year, especially as I prepare for the message today on hunger. It reminded me of a story of a gentleman that was committing himself to do that very thing, that 21 day of prayer and fasting. And so he started with a vengeance. I'm going to fast for 21 days. All food. I'm not eating. That's a commitment. Day 5, Randall came along, and it was still, you know, it's a challenge, 5 days. And he got into day 10. Wasn't getting any easier. But nothing was happening. And I remember the story. He got to day 15, and nothing is happening. But he committed to 21 days. Day 16, nothing. And day 17, nothing. Day 18, nothing. He continued to pray and fast as he got skinnier. Skinnier. Day 19 shows up, nothing. Day 20 rolls around and nothing. But church, I want to tell you something. On day 21, God responded. He poured out everything he had asked for, everything that he was praying for, everything he was fasting for, everything he was going to heaven for. He went and got everything. Why? The response from heaven is, I don't respond to your routine of 21 days. I responded to your hunger for me. More of me. That's what God responds to. Church, I'm telling you, it's not the routine of doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's God responds to the hunger in your heart to pray and fast. That's the response. Yeah, you could give him praise today. I'm going to pray about something in my life in desperation. I need heaven to come in. I got to do something. This is what I need, Pastor. We do this all the time, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're asking God to come in like a flood, but God's saying, I don't respond to desperation. I respond to hunger first. So I got to wonder, how hungry are we today? Are we hungry for something you need him to do, or are we hungry for something that we want him to show up? Is that what we want? Do we want presence or response? We want just presence. The response shows up in the presence. So as we pray this morning, church, pray for hunger. Because God responds to hunger before he'll respond to desperation. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I'm hungry today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, you know I'm hungry. Lord God, I just pray right now. You respond to that hunger. Father God, for those who came into the worship center today or tuned in online and they've got this dryness inside, Lord God, they're struggling deep down inside. They're searching and wondering, where's the response? Where is heaven? Lord God, I pray that you build hunger inside of them for presence, not just the response to the problem. Lord God, just give us an outpouring of presence today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, the cry of my heart, as you know, I want more. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for Crosspoint Church to be hungrier for your presence. Let us be a hungry people, Lord God. Let us not sit back on the status quo, but let us be hungry, Lord. Lord God, I pray that hunger drives us deeper. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, give heaven some praise today. Hallelujah. Look at somebody as you're seated and say, I'm committing to be hungry today. Let's be hungry. Hallelujah. Good morning, Cross Point Church. How is everybody doing this day? Some of you are probably just hungry physically because you didn't have any breakfast, right? Right, good morning. Hey, joining on Facebook and YouTube and the online campus and listening to the podcast this week, thank you so much for tuning in. We so appreciate to have you joining our service this morning. Hey, if you want to follow along, I say this often, you can follow along with the sermon notes if you scan the QR code on the bulletin. You probably know that by now, that you can follow along today. Now, sometimes I stick to my notes, and a lot of times I don't. So, but the notes are there, so you can go back throughout the week and weeks down. You know, you can go back and see and remember and study. Now, also, church, just to refresh your memory, we do a weekly devotional off the message on a Sunday morning. So if you have the Church Center app, and I do encourage you to download the Church Center app, you can click on there, and each day after each Sunday service, you will be able to do a weekly devotional on Monday through Friday. And it says right on there, today's devotional. And it's all wrapped around my message on Sunday. It really helps you to learn more and study more with the sermon notes and the devotion. By the time you get to Friday, you really have got it inside of your spirit, right? You come in on a Sunday morning, you come in hungry for more, I pray, right? Now, next week is Mother's Day. So the sermon notes and the weekly devotional will be Pastor Nicole will be speaking. You'll have all that great information the following week. I cannot wait to learn some things next week because I'm hearing from my wife as she's buried in my office all the work she's putting into the message. Now, this is going to probably be the best message I have ever heard my wife speak and preach. Now, I'm not just saying that, church. I'm saying because I know what she's doing, and she's right in her wheelhouse of giftings, right, dear? And they'll know that next week, won't they? They'll figure it out, and they'll see. It's going to be a powerful day and Mother's Day. I challenge you to invite somebody, bring them in, and we're not going to do business as usual. We're going to have a great day next week in God's house, but I'm hungry for today. Are you hungry for today with me? We are in a two-week series called Status Quo. I don't want the status quo. Last week, we talked about going deeper, right? We talked about going deeper. The status quo in Scripture refers to going through motions without any movement. It's a spiritual routine, living on autopilot, indifferent, and self-satisfied. We talked about last week, draw me deeper. I want to go deeper. We used Luke 5:4 that says, put out into the deep water, Jesus told Peter, and let down the nets for the catch. We used that scripture several times last week, just like we'll use a similar scripture several times today. But Jesus was teaching him a couple things. He taught him a little bit about geography, right? Go deeper. You'll get some fish. And then you remember the conversation between Jesus and Peter going back and forth. Oh, we've been out all night. The whining and the complaining. We worked all night. I'm tired. I don't think I can do it another time. I don't think I can go another minute. You know, I'm being a little paraphrasing here, but that's kind of what's going on. And Jesus says, put that net out there. He's teaching them some geography, a little deeper. So he does that, right? And the net comes back filled with fish. And the provision was there, right? The money was there because they could sell fish. And that's what they were doing, right? They're fishermen. And they listened to Jesus to draw deeper by geography. And Jesus was just using that as an example, right? He wanted them to draw deeper to him. And they learned that shortly thereafter because they did something that many of us are doing here. We follow him. They followed him, right? Peter and the others, they started to follow Jesus. That was the supernatural drawing. You notice how the provision of every day was met? It was met. Got a lot of fish. It was filled. lots of money to sell the fish and support the family, and Jesus wanted more than that, right? He wanted more than that. He said, follow me. Jesus wasn't asking Peter to go further out. He was asking Peter to go further in. You got to be a little bit hungrier to go deeper, right? The shallow waters we talked about of spiritual life, they're calm, they're safe, they're predictable, but nothing really happens there. We must have a willingness to go deeper. Peter was desperate for fish. Jesus wanted him to hunger for something more. Today, we're going to talk about that status quo and hungering for something more. Is anybody hungry today? We're going to go deep today, church. Lots of teaching today. I'll get you out by 2 o'clock today, I promise. But it's going to be, what would you do if that really happened? Right? What would you do if God really held you here till 2 o'clock in the afternoon and said, I'm not done? I tell you what, your pastor would be just elated. I mean, that means God is doing something so powerful nobody wants to leave. That means people were so hungry in the house they couldn't leave. That means people were so hungry online they couldn't shut off the device, right? Some of you would need us to bring food in for lunch, right? There's some hunger, right? Today we're going to talk about hunger. We're going to talk about heaven responds to hunger. Heaven responds to hunger. You know, the Bible is really earthy. It talks about being hungry. It talks about real stomach pains because I need some food. It talks about things like that, you know, and it's okay because it's teaching us a number of things, dependence and testing us and things like that. God used that, right? He uses it. He's not going to waste anything, right? Suffering, judgment, testing, dependence. Luke 4:2 says where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. This is Jesus, and he ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. He got tested and tempted with food, right? Jesus stayed the course. Deuteronomy 8:3 goes like this. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna. The Israelites break out of Egypt. God busted them out, and they're out in the wilderness, right? And they're hungry, right? Which neither of you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's teaching dependence there. He's teaching dependence. Jesus was tempted. The Israelites are being taught dependence. Spiritual hunger, church, is the deeper part. Spiritual hunger today is the deeper part. We taught you last week about being deeper, going deeper. Today, spiritual hunger, the hunger in the house is going deeper. And we're going to do lots of teaching on that today. So you better buckle your seatbelt. And I hope you got your coffee and your donuts this morning, right? Spiritual hunger, the deeper part. What is spiritual hunger? What is the hunger? It's an intense, voluntary desire for you to seek heaven. It's intentional. It's intense. It's I am going deeper. I am hungry for something more. The Bible says that hunger in you is blessed. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What will happen if they do? I'm going to fill them. I don't know. Somebody say, fill me today. I just want to be filled. And I don't want the physical food. I want the spiritual food. I want the spiritual manna from heaven. God, just fill me because I'm hungry today. I'm hungry. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Church, there's a big difference between physical hunger and spiritual hunger. Let me show you something on the screen. If you're watching online, let's look at this little graph here and let's just think about spiritual hunger and physical hunger. Physical hunger is about the body. Is it up there? Yeah, there we go. Physical hunger is about the body. Spiritual hunger is about the soul, right? It's about your body, then it's about the soul. Physical hunger is a sign of need or a sign that you're lacking something. Like you're physically hungry, right? But spiritual hunger is a sign that you're longing for something, right? Physical hunger is temporary, returns with time, but spiritual hunger can be deepened, which we taught last week, but it can't be satisfied. What? You can satisfy your physical hunger. You cannot satisfy your spiritual hunger, and you're going to learn about that today. Physical hunger is temporary. It returns with time, right? You can be satisfied by food, but only God himself and your hunger for wanting more can help you get satisfied. But we're going to learn today that satisfaction is not the kind of satisfaction that we think of when we're satisfied with physical food. In 2023, Barner Research. Now, Barner Research is a research group that does a lot of studying on the church, you and I. And in 2023, they came out with a study that talked about hunger. And the study says how many people throughout the week are hungry spiritually at least one time. One time, I'm just hungry spiritually. So they said, let's study this. The results were amazing. 62%, 63%, right in that range, the low 60s, that means 6 out of 10 people are really spiritually hungry at least one time during the week. That means, church, that 6 of 10 of you right now in the worship center and all those people online were spiritually hungry this past week, at least once. Saying things like, isn't there more? I'm not sure it's working. What do I got to do? You know, those types of things. The study said they start to be hungry for something that's real in their life that they need, but that's just not there. And they think about it at least one time that week. The study says, but they don't know how to fix it. I'm talking about the church. They don't know how to fix it. I'm hungry for something, but I don't know how to fix it. When you leave here today, the cry of your pastor's heart is you'll know how to fix it. If you don't know. And that study says 6 out of 10 of us don't know. Well, we're not quite there yet. Spiritual hunger is all about presence of God, folks. Spiritual hunger is all about God's presence. Now, in Exodus 32, there's the story of Moses busting them out of Egypt, right? He goes up on the mountain. He comes down with what? 10 commandments. Come on, you saw the movie, right? You know he comes down, right? Come on. If you can't remember the scripture, let's just go to the movie, right? You've seen the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston coming down with the Ten Commandments, right? Now, I'm not saying the movie is all that biblically accurate. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you remember. And what did he see? Somebody yell. No one saw the movie, right? Right? Idol worshiping. Thank you, my prayer leader. Idol worship, the golden calf, right, or idol worshiping. Moses brings them out with God leading the way. He comes off the mountain, and what does he see? Idol worship. You would think, folks, they would just be hungry for more of heaven and more of God. He busted us out. We're moving. Things are happening. And what do? They start to worship a man-made idol. God gets a little upset. The dialogue between heaven and Moses in Exodus 32, God starts to think, like, maybe I should start over. Maybe I should just do away with all the people and just start over with Moses. Those types of things. Why? That's what the scripture says. It's not like he hadn't done it before, right? Somebody say ark, right? He's done it before, right? So God starts thinking in Exodus there, he's like, man. And in Exodus 33, he starts having this dialogue with Moses, right? In Exodus 33, I'm not going to show the scripture. We got tons of scripture today. But let me tell you. So in Exodus 33, like 1 through 6 or 1 through 7, this dialogue happens. Moses is talking to God. Yeah, there's a conversation going on, folks. God says, I don't know. I don't know if I could go on any further with that group. They ain't hungry for me. They're not hungry for me. Moses is like, whoa, wait, right? God's not going to go along. Now Moses is hungry for God. Moses is devastated. God's thinking about not going. He's thinking things like the promised land is nothing without God's presence. See, Moses is hungering for God. And you could see it going on, and you could see all this. We're going to learn about today. And then this scripture of Exodus 33:18 shows up. So then Moses says, now show me your glory. It's a huge moment in the journey. And we're going to use that scripture so many times. He was hungry. See, he wasn't desperate just for God to show up another moment. Desperation wasn't there. See, we live on desperation a lot of times, folks, right? We don't live on hunger as much as sometimes we live on desperation. How do I know that? Because I've done it, right? We all have done it. God's got to come in like a flood. He's got to come in and save me from this situation. Moses and God's going back and forth having a conversation. There's desperation in his voice. God's upset. You know, they're worshiping an idol when they should be worshiping me. They should be hungry for me, and they're not. Just apply that to modern day. My checking account's not as where it should be. God doesn't love me anymore. I'm desperate for another X amount of dollars. Whatever the case, I'm desperate. And then that desperation gets filled. God comes in, and he does. He answers the prayer, and that's okay. But then we don't hunger as much anymore because we don't need him anymore. Right? We don't need him now. I got the extra few dollars in my account. I got my car fixed. I got this. I got that. So this dialogue is going back and forth. And Moses says, show me your glory. Show me your presence. See, I'm desperate in hunger for you. Here in the scriptures where hunger and desperation collide. They collide. Moses didn't want another chance for the people. Moses wanted to be hungrier and wanted them to be hungry for heaven, for God. Don't just fix this problem. Let's be hungry. And it got me thinking on what these two things of spiritual hunger and desperation and how we live sometimes as Christians. So here's another graph for you right behind me, and I'm going to buzz right through it, church. Take a look. Spiritual hunger and desperation. We need to live on the hunger side, right? We need to live on the hunger side. The definition, deep, consistent desire for more of God. But on the desperation side, it's an urgent panic cry for help. Like, we live there sometimes, right? The motivation on the spiritual side is love and pursuit of God's presence. But on the desperation side, we go to heaven because we're in pain. We fear, or there's some crisis in our life. Where are we living, right? The tone is steady, intentional, worshipful if we're hungry. Just like this morning. But on the desperation side, it's urgent and emotional. God, you've got to do this today, right? The posture is, I want to know you more, was the song that the worship team sang. And that's the spiritual hunger side. I want to know you more. But on the desperation side, I can't survive without you right now. You got to come in and fix it. The examples of Psalm 63:1 on the spiritual hunger side, we're earnestly to seek you. That's the desire of my heart. And Psalm 69:1 says, just save me, O God. It's desperation. Save me. He can save you, but without the hunger to go on, you have a one-time event. And you can't live on the desperation. You got to have the hunger. Right? The result is ongoing intimacy with God on the hunger side. On the desperation side, the immediate intervention from God will eventually fade. God comes in like a flood, right? The danger is spiritual hunger can grow cold if you're not nurturing it. On the desperation side, it can fade after the crisis passes. Oh, we live in there, right? Pastor is getting a little upset with us today. Yeah, we do that all the time. God fixed the problem, and now I don't need to be as hungry for heaven because the problem's been resolved. But guess what? We're living this thing called life, and what happens in life? The next problem shows up. And then we go back to the desperation side, and we're saying, God, 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 and if we're not hungry anymore. And see, God's going to send the desperations in our life to get you to realize that you don't live on desperations, you live on hunger. But we have hunger when we have the desperation. He said, no, I don't want the hunger just during the desperate times. I want the hunger all the time. If you had the hunger all the time, a lot of the desperate times wouldn't be there. There's the key, right? Today. God's response on the hunger side, he's going to fill you and draw you near, as Matthew talks about. On the desperation side, he delivers and he still rescues. But then what? I just wonder where we live today. Are we living hungry or are we just living desperate? The status quo, I'm just going to live desperate. Every time I need something from heaven, I'll just go get it. Thoughts like this, desperation is often born in that storm while hunger is chosen in the calm. Desperation says, I need you to save me. Hunger says, I need you to stay with me. So Moses says, God, show me your glory and stay with me. I need it. Oh, church, hold on. Something's going to happen here. You might get a little bit uncomfortable, right? But I'm using Moses today, right? Exodus 33:18, back to the scripture. Then Moses said, now, show me your glory. God's going to respond to his hunger. Because he's hungry. See, God responds to hunger, church, more than desperation. And I'm convinced that our desperation moments would be less if we were hungrier. So Moses goes right to the chase and says, God, just show me your glory. Show me your face. Show me who you are. Exodus 33:21-23. Then the Lord said, well, there's this place near me where you may stand on a rock. My glory passes. He's asking for glory. God's going to deliver. Why? Because heaven responds to hunger. All right. I'll put you in the cleft of that rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face can't be seen. I'll give you a glimpse. You want to see glory? You can't handle my face, Moses. You can't handle my glory face to face. Your human body can't take it. But I tell you what, because you're so hungry, I'll show you this. And I will guarantee you that'll be enough. It's all you need. See, God gives you just enough. Exactly meets you where you need to be met. And he says, I'm going to meet this guy. Why? Because he's asking because he's so hungry. God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, right? Church, if you're saying there's got to be more than this, like I mentioned earlier, you're just not alone. But you're right where God wants you to be. Why? Because heaven responds to hunger. You got to ask yourself, why, if you're feeling that a lot, what is God trying to get through to you? He's not trying to teach you to be desperate for him on each individual situation. He's trying to teach you that you just have to be hungrier. And the more hungrier you get, the more you want. Oh, church, hold on, I'm telling you. Back to Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. What? We're going to have some dialogue now because heaven responds to hunger. Let's have a conversation, right? Let's get together and have a sit down. You don't need to go see the pastor. You just need to be hungrier sometimes. Maybe on the way to that hunger, you go by the way of the pastor's office, but the pastor's going to still point you towards heaven and being hungrier. Why? Because I understand that concept that heaven responds to hunger. See, real hunger for God doesn't start in the middle of the storm, folks. It starts in the middle of his presence. in the middle. Like, we've never heard that in this church before, right? Here's another thing. Moses wasn't crying out for more because life was falling apart. He wasn't desperate because of a crisis that he saw. He was hearing from God. He was listening to God. He was having conversations with God. God was leading miracles. But in the presence, did something deep inside of him. It made him hunger for more. See, you would think, church, the closer you would get to heaven, the closer you would get to God, you'd be more satisfied. No, not at all. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to heaven, makes you thirstier for more of him. Why? You realize, I need thee. The closer you get, the thirstier you get, the more you want. And I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy doesn't want you anywhere near that phrase that says, Lord, show me your glory. Because that's all about, out of desperation, I'm hungry, I'm coming in with my hunger. I don't care about what's going on in my life anymore. I don't care about the physical healing that I need today. I don't care about my car. I don't care about the situations. I don't care about, I just want your glory. I just want you. And that pierces right through everything. Moses got it. And some of us don't. And I'm praying today, and I've been praying for so long, I pray that today we get it. See, that's what happens in real intimacy with God, folks. It doesn't fill you in the point to settle. It fills you to the point of longing for more. I want more. Moses didn't ask to fix a problem. He didn't ask for another miracle. He didn't ask for another promise. But he did ask God to respond. Show me your glory. God, just do it. I know what my friends are doing with the golden calf. I know that they're not, but I just want to see you. Many times we fill our lives with spiritual activity, but we fail to touch his presence. Church, listen to here. We do so many things at this church, but I'm going to tell you right now, spiritual activity is not spiritual hunger. Right? Pastor, I'm involved in Journey tonight. I teach a class. I do all that. That's great because God's called you to do that, but that's not going to fill you of your hunger. It won't touch you. The more we do, the more burned out we get, the more activities we do has nothing to do with the spiritual hunger that we have for heaven. We're just doing some things that we're called to do, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We want that. See, we want to see revival in our churches, our cities, our generation. But revival doesn't start in a crowd. It starts in a secret place. When a person says, Lord, I want more of you. Moses is all by himself. Talking to heaven. Show me your glory. See, church, I'm going to tell you something. That hunger is never satisfied with the past. Hunger is never satisfied with the past. Now, I know some of us have lived on our past, right? But it's not going to be satisfied with the past. Exodus 33:15, look what it says. It says, then Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. See, God saying, listen, I don't think I'm going. Moses saw burning bushes. He saw the Red Sea part. God does all these miracles. He saw manna coming down from heaven. Doesn't the Bible says he see water coming from the rock? You know, all this stuff. But he's not asking for that. He's so hungry, he's worried that God's going to send the Israelites on without him. And God even says in the scripture, I tell you what, I'm going to send you on with just an angel, but I'm staying here. They're not hungry enough. And Moses responds, no, thank you. His response was, if you're not going, I'm not going. Now, church, that's hunger. That's hunger. God, if you're not going, I ain't going. You can send them by an angel. You can send an angel in front of them, and we know the scripture. But God's presence stayed. But God's talking about sending them on without him. I'll send an angel and you guys can go on your way. I ain't going anymore because they're not hungry enough for me. And Moses says, if you're not going, I ain't going either. I'd rather stay in the desert by myself than follow the angel leading them to the promised land. Because he recognized, if I stay in the desert by myself, the presence of God stayed with me. Because God says, I'm not going to go if I send the angel. Why? He's looking for hunger. And the one guy that was hungry was going to stay home. Let everybody else go. He wants hunger, church. You want to change status quo in your life, you got to be hungry. Desperation says, thank you for what you've done. Hunger says, I want more of you. See, church, many believers get stuck in the status quo. They build monuments to old movements and old moments. They remember what God used to do, but stop expecting for what he still wants to do. Pastor, I remember when the church did this, and I remember when the church did that. It's okay to remember, but don't stay there. I got a new thing coming. Somebody say, I got a new thing coming. I got a new thing coming. That's why we sing it. I want more. I got a new thing coming. I got something new for you. That promised land, you got to be hungry for it. I don't know what it looks like. I don't care. You got to be hungry for it. You can't be worshiping the idol out in the wilderness. You got to be hungry for it. So God tells Moses, I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to bless you with that land. And Moses, I don't want the land. I want you. I'll take the land if you're in it. If you're not going to be in it, I don't want it. Hunger. Moses is hungry. Church, hunger doesn't ask for repeat blessings. Hunger asks for deeper presence. Yeah, Lord, just give me more. You know, church, hunger is always about more. Back to Exodus 33:18. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Boy, we're going to use that scripture a lot today, right? Man, Moses had guts. Man. It gets me thinking. I spent so much time on this message. He's got some guts. He just busted them out of Egypt. 4 million plus people and animals and stuff, right? You saw the movie, right? All the stuff, and then all the challenges as they're moving out. And he saw them part the sea right in front of him. Fed him from heaven. Bread falling from the sky, right? Some of you asked for money from the sky. God sent food, right? For physical hunger, right? Boy, Moses had guts. Church, because here's where he gets really gutsy. He watched all that stuff happen. And knew what he does? He comes and says, that's good. But I want to see your glory. See, I wasn't hungering for the miracle of desperation at the time. I'm hungering for your glory, your presence, your radiance. I want you. He couldn't live on the miracle, but he could live on the hunger of his presence. Church, we can't live on that desperation of the one miracle or the one delivering thing that God does for us. We can't live there, but we can live on the hunger. Because the hunger invites the presence. And when the presence shows up, there is no longer any desperation. The desperation is gone, right? He challenges God. How many of here have ever challenged God, right? You're going to challenge God here in a few minutes. He challenges God to respond. Show me your glory. God does. See, he does. God's not offended by your hunger. In fact, heaven responds to those who are bold enough to ask for more. Church, we just settle in the status quo instead of asking for more. You can ask for more. And what will God do? If you're hungry for him, he'll give you more. Now, if you're hungry for just something that you want, new car, new this, new that. But if you're hungry for heaven, heaven responds to hunger. I want more. Moses didn't ask for another miracle or more stuff. He just asked for glory. Let me give you some examples, right? As we bring this in for our landing, and I'm going to give you a chance to challenge heaven here, let me give you some other examples. I've used that scripture and talked about Moses, I guess, maybe long enough, but let me give you some examples, right? The disciples hungered for understanding. Matthew 13, 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in these parables?" The stories, right, that Jesus would talk about, and the ones that we study today to learn something, why, because we're hungering for something, right? So they asked Jesus, "Why do you do that?" Heaven responds, Matthew 13, 11. He replies, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, not to them. You already know. They do not. I'm going to try to get them to be hungry just like you." They hungered for some understanding. Jesus delivered. You know, in the Old Testament, Daniel hungered for wisdom. In Daniel chapter 9, now many of you Bible scholars in the group here today and online know Daniel chapter 9, a prophetic chapter. It talks about the 70 weeks, the 70-week vision, the 490 years. I mean, it's a lot. We don't have the time to get into that, but he's going to heaven about a vision. And he's asking a question, and he needs God to respond. He needs heaven to respond. And Daniel 9, 3 says, "So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting." What does this whole thing mean? Is this a huge vision? You got to go to Daniel chapter 9 and do a little bit of research. It's going to take you a while because it's huge. But it's important. But just take your pastor's word for it. It's a big vision. It's a big prophetic word, right? And Daniel is looking for some wisdom behind it. So he goes to, what's the best place to go for wisdom, right? He's hungering for wisdom. He's going to heaven. And heaven responds mightily. "I'm going to send an angel this time. I'm going to send Gabriel down to speak life into my servant." Daniel chapter 9, verse 22 through 23. "So he explained to me, Gabriel, 'Daniel, I have come here to give you some insight.'" Now, church, you want to ask for something special? You go to heaven and see if God sends an angel. See, the problem is, can I do a commercial for a second? The problem with this is, you know, we go to heaven and we say, "God, come on. You can send me some big thing. I'll take it. I'll take the Gabriel showing up on my doorstep." But when the pastor shows up, and you know I'm not Gabriel, you know, I listen as much. "Oh, God, I didn't want the pastor. I didn't want Pastor Brad or Pastor Mike or Pastor Amber, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Christy. I don't want them. I want Angel to show up." Well, that's my servant. They come in my name. That's good enough. See, we don't see it like that. We set the terms of the response before we get the response. But not here. "Daniel, I've come to give you some insight, some understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given." Church, he's hungry for an answer. And so he goes to heaven for an answer. Gabriel shows up and says, "Listen, God heard you. As soon as you started praying, because you're hungry for an answer, the command went out." What command? "Gabriel, go down there. I got a servant down there that's really hungry, and I need you to go down and talk to him. Go." He goes. Just like it happens today. We just don't recognize it sometimes because it's not how we want the response. And now, I'm here to tell you what it is and what it was. "For you are very precious to God." Now, I'm just going to tell you right now what that means. Yes, we're all precious to God, but in that scripture, it means you're precious right in this midst because Gabriel shows up because you're so hungry. You're hungry. God's delivering. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. And you go on in that, he starts to give the explanation. Why? Because heaven responds to hunger. It takes you right off the status quo. Told you lots of teaching today. It takes you right off the status quo. Are you hungry or are you just desperate? Are you just desperate for a temporary fix? Or are we hungry for the long term? Show me your glory, heaven. Let me give you a story. Do you mind if I give you another story? So there's this pastor. Lots of pastor stories, right? I wonder where I get these pastor stories, right? Well, I know this one, and you're probably going to know this one too. There's a pastor back in the mid to late 50s. Wow, 50s, say 50s. That's a long time ago. Most of you probably weren't even around the 50s, right? Some of you were. I wasn't, but I know the story. This pastor was called to the small church in rural Pennsylvania. So he listens and goes. It's not a mega church. It's not in the heart of Canton. It doesn't have lights and screens and live stream, but it's got people. God dispatched him there. So he starts to pastor the small rural church, and he's doing exactly what God told him to do, and he started to get hungry. Now, you know this is a true story because you're going to know what's going on here in a second. He starts to get hungry. He's not hungry for more people like he would think. He's not hungry for better lights or better facility. He's not hungry for all the stuff. He's not. He starts to bury himself into his private prayer closet because he's got this churning going on inside and he can't figure it out. And he starts praying and he starts to be hungrier. And God says, shut off that new TV, that new stuff that's out today. It's the 50s, right? You don't need that. You just need more of me. Because I'm going to reveal something to you. And many of you know the story. As I go through it, he looks at a magazine called, what is it, Life Magazine? And he's starting to see some pictures of some things. And the pictures that he's seeing, the things that he is hearing, is some gangsters in the city of New York going on trial for heinous crimes. And God says, are you really hungry? Are you really serious? If you are really serious, those are the people in New York I want you to go minister to. Whoa. You know the story? He's hungry. He heads to New York. In fact, the story goes that he went into one of the hearings that these guys were being prosecuted through, one of the court hearings. He asked the judge, can I talk to those guys? Several guys, right? Horrible crimes. Can I talk to those guys? The judge says, no, cannot. He could have went home, folks, but he was really hungry. And he's not stopping. As I go through the story, many of you are starting to figure it out. And the pastor is called to New York City to minister to the worst gangs, the worst of the worst in New York City. The pastor is David Wilkerson. And through his hunger, he starts to minister to the people that nobody else wanted to minister to. The MS-13 gang members, or whomever they may be in New York at the time. The addicts. Specifically, the addicts. Those that are hurting. Addicted to some substance that drives their bad behavior. Know the story yet? They're addicts. It's the reason Cross Point Church has Celebrate Recovery on a Wednesday night. Because we're hungry. David Wilkerson was hungry to help the addicts of New York City to clean up their lives and stop doing what they're doing so they won't have the criminal element that happens sometimes. Hungry. That hunger birthed a movement. The The movement is the largest Christian addiction recovery program called Teen Challenge, with 1,400 locations throughout the world today. In 1961, Teen Challenge was birthed out of hunger. In 1962, David Wilkerson wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, The Cross meeting the Switchblade in New York City. He set up camp and he ministered there for years and years. Teen Challenge is now in 129 countries. Why? Because somebody was hungry and God honored it. The quote that Pastor David Wilkerson, who's now in heaven, says like this. It should be on the screen behind me. It says, "All I wanted was more of God's presence. What I got was more than I ever imagined." Hunger drove his life. God doesn't always respond to desperate demands, church, but he will never ignore a hungry heart. So today, before we leave, I think we need to create some hunger in the house. See, if you listen to the Barner research of 2023, it says 6 out of 10 of you are hungry. And let no one say that this pastor lets people leave Cross Point Church hungry. And I'm not talking about your physical hungry. I'm talking spiritual hungry. So I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime today. As Moses challenged God, pastor's going to challenge you in the eyes of God to give you the opportunity to come to an altar as our worship team sings, "We Want More." More of you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come down to the altar. And instead of saying, like Moses said, "Now show me your glory," I want you to come down to the altar and say, "Now show me your glory in this situation, this situation, this situation. But Lord, show me your glory in my life first." And allow the desperation of those situations to dissipate as you leave today, because you're asking for presence before desperation. We all have those situations, right? Your pastor included. But Lord God, I just want to have a hunger for more of you. So church, stand with me. And as our worship team begins to sing, I challenge you to come to the altar, raise your hands, and say, "Lord, now show me more of you." Hallelujah.
We wait here in the silence, when there's nothing left to say, where the promise of a breakthrough is just a breath away.
Hallelujah. I am the God that you cry out to today. I am the God that you hunger for this moment. I have given you my word that I will respond, and I shall. Reach to heaven. Don't reach to your left or unto your right. Reach to me, for my presence fills the room. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we leave here today, I'm going to ask Crosspoint Church to make a commitment that we are going to commit that we are going to be more hungry for heaven than ever. And I know that I know as I preached it today that heaven responds to hunger. So church, if that is you today, raise your hands with your pastor. And Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, as I raise my hand with the church at Crosspoint and those online, Father God, I pray right now, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that I will be hungrier. Lord God, I won't live in desperation, but I'll live in hunger. Because, Lord God, you've taught us that you will respond first to hunger. Lord God, show me your presence. Lord God, show me your presence, Lord. Show me your glory. Show all of us your glory, Lord God. We just want you, Lord God. And I commit, Lord God, to live on hunger and not desperation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Give him praise today, church. Let his presence fill the room. As you leave Crosspoint Church today, and I'm not pushing you out, but you leave today with hunger in your heart, in your spirit, and you're going to say, there's a new thing coming in my life. God bless you. Let's go out saying that together. So darkness bow down to the day. Mountains get up on my way.